So if I were to ask you, who are the busiest people on the earth? Who would you think that are the busiest people on the earth? Who are the people who do the most, but they get paid the least? Who are the people that they just seem to go unnoticed in all that they do and the many sacrifices that they make, and yet what they do has the longest lasting impact of anybody on this earth? Well, if it wasn't Mother's Day, that might have taken you a little bit to figure out who I was talking about. But since it's Mother's Day, you probably already figured out he's got to be talking about moms, because if he's not, he's in trouble, because that's what he's supposed to be talking about on Mother's Day. Busiest people on earth. Yeah, that's moms. The ones who seem to do the most but get paid the least. Yeah, I guess that's moms too, right? The ones who are so involved in what they are doing that what they do sometimes just goes unnoticed, and yet they keep on doing it. Well, yep, that's mom. And so it's a lot of descriptions, no doubt, that could be made for moms and what they do, and we appreciate so much the good moms that we have in this congregation and the great job that you are doing and that some of you have done, because some of you might be looking in the rearview mirror in the raising of your children. But here's what I want us to talk about this morning. I don't want to talk about moms this morning. That'd be great. But we're here to talk about the Bible this morning. And so what I want us to do is I want us to take our theme that we've been using for this last year and a half in walking with Jesus. And this morning I want us to talk about mothers who walk with Jesus. Mothers who walk, all mothers have a lasting impact, but mothers who walk with Jesus, they have an eternal impact. Because the difference they make in the lives of their children, it's not just for 18 years, not just for 25 years, or however long your children live in your home, not just for how many years that mother lives, or however many years that child might live, but the impact that a mother who walks with Jesus has goes on beyond this life and goes into eternity. So what I want to do this morning is I want you to get your Bibles out. What we're going to do is we're just going to walk into the life of just a few mothers who were there in the life of Jesus, okay? So we're going to go back into the life of Jesus as we've been going for the last year and a half, but I want us to look at just a few mothers here, and what can we learn from some mothers in the gospel accounts who walked with Jesus? And it's not going to surprise you that the first one we're going to look at is Mary over in Luke chapter 2. So get your Bibles out, go over to Luke chapter 2. In fact, we're going to look at Mary for a couple things this morning, and then we'll look at a couple other mothers. But what do we learn from Mary in Luke chapter 2? And when you go to Luke chapter 2, you realize that as you're reading about Mary and understanding that here's a woman who gave her all. She gave her all in the raising of Jesus. But what was the best thing that she did? The best thing that she did for Jesus is that she raised him under God's authority. Look with me in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. And once you see some key terms here, and then we'll kind of make some application from it. Look in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, when it says, when 8 days were what? When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Why? Because that was the name that was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I want you to look at that word completed. Babies back then were to be circumcised on the 8th day. And so when 8 days were completed, why did they wait 8 days to circumcise him? Because she's raising him under the authority of God. God said to circumcise him in the 8 days. So she didn't do it early. She didn't do it on day 5 or day 6 or day 7. When the 8th day came, oh, that's the day that we're going to follow what God says to do. Look down in verse 22. Well, verse 21 says they gave him the name Jesus because that's the name God said to give him. Look at verse 22. When the days of her purification, what do you mean her purification? According to the law of Moses were completed. The law of Moses gave a certain number of days that a new mother was to wait until she was pure again. And so when those days were completed, what is she doing? She's following the law of God. Even when her baby was just a few days old, just a few weeks old, she's making sure that she's following the law of God. And so you see that in verse 22. According to the law of Moses, that was completed. Look at verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord. Look in verse 24. To offer sacrifices according to what was said in the law of the Lord. Over and over. Jesus is just a baby. But what is she concerned about? She's concerned about making sure that what she does early on in his life is what she's going to try to do for the rest of his life. Raising him under the authority of God. Recognizing that this child she has really doesn't belong to her. Remember Jesus? He's called the Son of God. Oh, he belongs to God. But that's not just Jesus. Psalm 127 verse 3, the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord. All children, not just Jesus, all children belong to the Lord. They're his. And so godly mothers recognize that. And so what godly mothers try to do from the very early days, even before a child can even understand this, a godly mother is trying to instill within that child's heart, we do what Jesus says. That's it. Can a little child learn that? A little child can learn that before they ever start to talk. A little child can learn that before they ever start to walk. We just do what Jesus says to do. A little child can learn that before they ever go to school to learn their ABCs and to learn their math in school. They learn before they ever go to school. You know what? We just do what Jesus says. Mothers who walk with Jesus, they want that more than anything else. Mothers who walk with Jesus are trying to raise a child to walk with Jesus. And to do that, they're trying to get them to live under the authority of God. Go over to chapter 8. Look in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to stay with Mary for just a second here, because we see something else about Mary in the passage that David Lord read for us just a little while ago from Luke chapter 8. But this transitions from Mary as the mother of Jesus, and it's talking about Mary as the mother of her other sons. Mary had other sons after Jesus. She wasn't a perpetual virgin, as some would have us to believe. She had other children after that. And so in Luke chapter 8, we learn about Mary. And what we see about Mary as she's dealing with her other sons here is that a godly mother, a mother who walks with Jesus, tries to be like Mary in this account because they want to bring their children over to Jesus. And so when you get to this account, it just seems that Mary kept showing up. Wherever Jesus was, verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to Jesus. She just kept showing up where he was, and they could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told to Jesus by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are out standing outside, and they desire to see you." Now, Jesus' brothers, they're adults by now. I mean, Jesus is an adult. Jesus is 30, 31, 32 at this point in his life. So his younger brothers, they would be adults too. But guess what she's doing? Even for her adult children, guess what she's doing? She's trying to get her kids to Jesus. They came to him. His mother, why didn't they just stay at home? Why weren't they at work? What, did they take the day off? What's going on here? The mom is taking her older children because she wants to get them in the presence of Jesus. Over in John chapter 7 and verse 5, the Bible tells us that even Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him. Think about that. The ones who knew him the best, his own brothers, did not believe in him. They were not where they needed to be spiritually. And guess what Mary kept doing? My sons aren't where they... She believed in Jesus, but her sons don't. Don't you know that broke her heart? Some of you are there. Some of you have adult children that don't believe in Jesus, who aren't committed to Jesus. And what did this mom do? She kept trying to get them around Jesus. I'm thankful for Mother's Day for a lot of reasons. One reason I'm thankful for Mother's Day is sometimes Mother's Day is when some children will come to church with their mom. I remember, and you all do too, I remember Vera Day sitting right back here, about the fifth row back. Vera Day was a member of this congregation for a long time. And you know who would always be here on Mother's Day? Vera's two sons. They were in their 50s, 60s. But they always came to church with her on Mother's Day. Here was a woman in her 80s. And what was she doing? Same thing Mary was doing. She's trying to get her sons. They weren't believers, but even in her 80s, she's trying to get her sons to be around Jesus. Don't you think that Vera had tried to change their hearts? Yeah. But moms can only do so much in that, right? Moms can only do so much in changing their hearts, but who is the ultimate heart changer? She wanted to get her sons around Jesus so that Jesus could have an impact on their hearts. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8 that when we behold, we pick up the Bible, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, verse 18 says, when we behold His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, when we behold His glory, we are transformed from glory to glory. When we spend time with Jesus, you know what it does? If we'd let it, it'll transform us. And that's what Mary wanted. So I want you to think about Mary. In Luke chapter 2, Mary with that little baby. And what did she want? To raise him under the authority of Jesus. And now we see Mary with her adult children. What does she want? She wants to get them closer to Jesus. And I know some of you moms here today, want that very same thing for your kids. And a similar thought is this. Go over to Matthew chapter 20. And I want you to think about in Matthew chapter 20, I'm calling her Mrs. Zebedee because we don't know her name. The Bible doesn't tell us her name, but we know her husband's name is Zebedee. We found out the other day that we've got another grandson on the way, and that they're choosing Bible names for the grandsons, but they didn't choose Zebedee for this son. But if you've got a grandson on the way, you could encourage, hey, you could name him Zebedee. I don't know anybody's named Zebedee, do you? But so here's Mrs. Zebedee. What do we know about Mrs. Zebedee? Well, when you go over to Matthew chapter 20, what we understand about, she's got a misconception about what the kingdom is. We get that. Because in Matthew 20 and verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons. Get the picture. Mom is coming to Jesus with her adult sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And so Jesus in verse 21 says to Mrs. Zebedee, "What do you wish?" And she said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." Well, she didn't have a right understanding of the kingdom of Jesus, but what did she understand? She wanted her sons to be as close to Jesus as possible. And wherever Jesus was going to be, she wanted her sons to be there. She had this idea that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom. Okay, if you're going to have an earthly kingdom, I want them closer to you than anybody else. Think about that kind of mom. The kind of mom that says, I want my children to have a special place in the kingdom of God, knowing that the closer they are to Jesus, the closer and more like Jesus they will become. You remember what Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ lives in me. And that's what she wanted for her children. She wanted Christ to not just be near them. She wanted Christ to live in them. She saw something in Christ. She saw something in Jesus. And said, I want my children to be around Him. You think about this woman. We don't know a lot about her. But what we do know about her is that when she saw this kingdom coming, she wanted her sons to be in that kingdom. Well, we understand from the reading of the Bible that the kingdom is the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. The very same thing. So we understand from the Bible that Jesus' promise of a coming kingdom, that was His church. What do you want for your kids? Are you like Mrs. Zebedee? Do you want them to be in His church? I'm not talking about the building. Do you want your children to be in His church? But not just in His church. Not just in His church, to be active in His church. You know, it's not enough It's not enough to have our name in a church directory. It's not enough to have our name on a membership roll down at a church. The Bible says we need to be a part of the church that Jesus put on this earth. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, and the people were pricked in their heart when they heard about Jesus being crucified. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "You need to repent to be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to do it for the forgiveness of your sins." And that very day, about 3,000 people, they heard it. They said, "That's what we've got to do." Can I ask you today, when you hear in a little while what you need to do in order to be saved, will you be like those in Acts chapter 2? That very day, about 3,000 of them were baptized because they knew they had to do that in order to get the forgiveness of sins and in order to be added to His church in verse 47. I'm thankful for moms who raise their children in the church. I'm thankful for moms who don't just raise their children in the church, but instill within their children a heart to be actively involved in the church for the rest of their lives. I look over here and see Chuck Milton. I look back here and see Cheryl Milton. And I can't see them here without thinking of their mom, Ruth. They're not here to make their mom happy. They're here because of something that their mom and their dad, I'm not taking anything away from your dad, one of the first elders in this church. But what we see in Chuck and Cheryl is what we saw in Ruth all of those years. Why? Because she was a mom who wanted to position her children near Jesus. I look back here and see Chuck Reeves. I see Chuck Reeves Sr. I think Chuck Reeves Jr. is out in the lobby. You know, Chuck Reeves Jr. is one of the most faithful members of this church. Chuck Reeves Jr. is here every time the doors are open. Does he do that because he's trying to make mom happy? No, mom lives in Tennessee. She's here today. Hey, Mary. Hey, Chuck Sr. But Chuck's got deep in his heart something his mom put in him all those years ago. That's what Mrs. Zebedee was trying to do. Mrs. Zebedee was trying to get something into her children that would draw them close to Jesus for the rest of their life. Go back over. Where are we? We're in Matthew chapter 20. Hold your finger here. We're going to come right back here in just a second. But I want you to go over Mark chapter 15 for just a second. Go to Mark 15 because we're going to do another Mrs. here. We don't know her name, but we believe her husband's name was Clopas. All right, so we're going to call her Mrs. Clopas. I want you to go to Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Mark chapter 15, verse 40, Jesus has just died on the cross. Mark chapter 15, verse 40 says, "There were also women looking on from afar." He had just died in verse 37. Now in verse 40, "There were women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and Joses," and that's who we believe is Mrs. Clopas from John 19. She's there along with Salome. All of these women had followed Jesus and ministered to Him when He was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with Him to Jerusalem. At this point in the life of Jesus, everybody else had abandoned Him. And that's what the Old Testament prophet said. You strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus' disciples, they've scattered. But who's there? Well, we could focus in on any one of them. But I chose to just focus in on this woman we don't know much about other than her name is Mary and her husband's name is Clopas. Mrs. Mary Clopas. While everybody else had abandoned Jesus, she stood firm. You think that was easy? You think it's easy to stand there and watch this man you've been following for 3.5 years just get killed and nailed to a cross? You think there was any pressure on her? Everybody else had left. Why are you still there? She's standing out, isn't he? And not just standing for it. She kind of stand. Wait a minute. Don't you think that could have made her a target? Everything that she had placed in Jesus, all of her hopes have now been taken away. She's full of sorrow and disappointment. She's full of uncertainty. And yet, where is she in all of that? With sorrow and disappointment and uncertainty and pain, she hasn't left the cross of Jesus. Do mothers ever experience sorrow and disappointment and uncertainty and pain? It almost goes with the territory. Sorry, Brittany. It almost goes with the territory of being a mother. And yet, where was this mother? She's still standing there at the cross of Jesus. Some of you mothers have gone through some difficult trials. Maybe when your children were young, maybe when your children got older. And you've experienced sorrow and disappointment. And sometimes that causes us to question maybe our faith. Maybe that causes us to have doubts and say, wait a minute, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? And I just want to encourage you mothers to be like Mary, to be like Mrs. Clopas. Don't leave the cross. That's where our hope is. When Jesus, when the Hebrews writer is writing about Jesus in Hebrews 12, Hebrews writer, you know Hebrews 11. You know Hebrews 11 where the writer says, look at this person of faith and this person of faith and this person of faith. And he lists all these great people of faith. But you know what he says about all of those people? They died. Oh, great, they died. So we have all these great examples, but they died. But you ignore the chapter division, go right into chapter 12, and he says in verse 2, but here's where you need to put your focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Where was Mrs. Clopas when he was doing that? She was right there. She didn't give up on him. She didn't abandon him. Moms, don't give up on Jesus. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to take care of you through it all. Now let's go back to Matthew 21. And mothers are not mentioned in Matthew 21, but I find this interesting. Matthew 21, and we'll get to Matthew 21 in our walking with Jesus in a couple weeks. But in Matthew 21, you read about what we call the triumphal entry, okay? You read about Jesus coming into Jerusalem in Matthew 21 for the last time, riding on a donkey. Remember what the people are doing in Matthew 21? They're taking their palm branches and they're laying them out in the street, all right? And he's riding on a donkey. Look in Matthew 21. What verse is this where they're saying this? It's about verse 9 or 10. Yeah, verse 9. Multitudes who went before, they followed and cried out. What are they saying? So as Jesus is coming into the city, what is the multitude crying out? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're shouting this. The multitude is shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. All right, where does Jesus go? First place. He goes to the temple. What happens in the temple? And I hadn't really grabbed a hold of this more than I had when putting this lesson together. Again, the mothers are not mentioned. But Jesus goes into the temple, verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple. You would expect that. And so he healed them. The chief priest and the scribes, they saw the wonderful things that he did, but they didn't just see that. Keep reading verse 15. They saw the children crying out in the temple. And what are the children crying out? Hosanna to the Son of David. Huh? We just read that. Why were the children in the temple crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David? What had they just heard? Everybody crying out, the multitude crying out when Jesus come in. So the children are there in the temple, and what are they doing? They're doing what they just heard happening out on the street. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they became indignant. They became angry. And so they said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? Of course Jesus heard what they were saying. But my mind wonders, maybe it shouldn't do that, but my mind wonders, were these children saying something that their mother taught them to say? Had their mother been one of the multitude? Had they seen their mother as Jesus is coming by saying, Hosanna, the Son of God? Had they seen their mother praising Jesus? And so they went in the temple. And what are they doing when they get in the temple? They're just doing what they saw their mom doing. I don't know if their mom was on the street, but these children have moms. The children in the temple who are crying out to Jesus, Hosanna the Son of David, they have moms. And somewhere they learned about the greatness of Jesus. So what does Jesus say in verse 16? Out of the mouth of babes. He quotes from Psalm 8 in verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and infants. Here are these little children saying the very thing these old crusty scribes wouldn't say. Hosanna, they recognize who he is. How'd they recognize it? Perhaps because their moms told them to. Perhaps their moms told them who Jesus was. Psalm 145 and verse 4 is interesting. I've always thought this of One Direction, but I want you to think about this. Psalm 145 and verse 4 says, one generation shall praise your name to another generation. And I've always thought about that as an older generation praising Jesus' name, God's name, to a young... I've always thought about it as an older generation praising God's name to a younger generation. But do you know what's happening here in the temple? It's actually a younger generation who's praising his name to an older generation. I'm thankful for the kids in this church. I'm thankful that some of the loudest singers in this church are our kids. Kids, are you listening to me? Keep singing loud. The older people in here will get the message. And they'll follow your example, all right? But I'm thankful that some of the loudest singers in here are our kids. What are they doing? Out of the mouth of babes, out of their mouth of children come praises to God, just like here in the temple. And what's happening? One generation, a younger generation, is praising his name here in the midst of another generation. And these crusty old scribes, they come along, don't you hear what these kids are saying? Kids, don't be ashamed. These kids in the temple, they weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed to say who Jesus was, to shout out who they knew Jesus to be. Don't you be ashamed. And that's what mothers who walk with Jesus do. They help their kids to not compromise, to not want to compromise. When the Bible says something, when they know who Jesus is, they know who God is, not some fairy tale that they've heard. That's a once upon a time story about some fairy tale. That's not what the Bible is. The Bible is truth. And the Bible gives us every bit of truth we need to know about God and about Jesus and about what he wants us to do. And kids, you don't need to be silenced. You need to obey God rather than men. That's what Acts 5 verse 29 says. And these crusty old scribes, they wanted to silence these kids. And Jesus says, let them go. Let them sing. Let them praise. Who knows but what? They learned that from their mom. I'm thankful for moms who bring their kids to church from a very young age and allow their kids to see them praising God. Go over to Mark chapter 7. Very quickly, just one more. This is the last one. Look at Mark chapter 7. We're going to see a weird word to describe this woman. But the Bible calls her a Syro-Phoenician woman. And that's just telling you where she lives, okay? She lives in the region of Phoenicia, which is a part of Syria. That's all that's telling us. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 7. And I want you to imagine being this mother. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus comes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's in Phoenicia. Verse 25 says, a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Jesus. And she came and fell at his feet. And what we're going to learn about this woman is here is a mother who did not quit on her children. Her daughter, what we would learn from Matthew's account says she was severely demon-possessed. This girl's in serious trouble. This mother hears about Jesus, and what does she do in verse 25? She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, and here's where it says, a Syro-Phoenician by birth. And what does the end of verse 26 say that she did? She kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. When did she stop? Does your Bible say she kept asking? The verb tense indicates she didn't just fall at his feet, ask him one time, oh, will he do it? Okay, will he? Well, she wouldn't leave him alone. She would not leave the Lord alone. She kept asking, kept asking, kept asking, kept asking. Heal her, kept asking, kept asking. You get the point? She wasn't going to quit. She's not going to quit on her child. Verse 27, Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He's testing this woman's faith. And this woman says, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs. Jesus says, you're right. Verse 29, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. There was evil, literally evil, inside of this girl. The mother couldn't get rid of it. But who could? This mother came to the one person who could get rid of that evil. And she begged and begged and begged and begged and begged. Moms, don't ever give up on your kids. Sometimes your kids will do things that you wouldn't do. Then maybe kids do things that would disappoint you. Maybe kids don't get a demon inside of them. That's what was happening in the New Testament times. Demon possession is not something that happens today. But maybe our kids turn towards evil, turn towards the way of the world, and get their heart filled with evil instead of with the Lord. Don't ever give up on your kids. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without what? Without ceasing. And this woman wasn't going to cease talking to the one who could change something that was happening in her daughter's life. You know, moms who walk with Jesus, it can be a hard life. And maybe you don't get the thanks that you deserve. Maybe you give all that you can, and yet sometimes you don't get much in return. But that's not the job of moms. The job of moms is not to see what moms get in return. The job of moms is to take that child, Psalm 127 verses 3 and 4, that heritage from the Lord, and as that arrow in the hand of a mighty hunter, the job of a mom is just to do her best to get that child of God back to God. Thank God for you, moms, and what you're doing. Don't ever stop. I don't care how old your kids are. Don't ever give up on her. You keep doing all that you can to get them as close to Jesus as possible. You say, well, it's hard. Yeah, it is. But the Lord will be with you every step of the way. Just keep bringing them close to Jesus. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep not giving up on them. And let the Lord take care of the rest. Let me ask all of us here today, not just moms, are you walking with Jesus? What every kid needs is a mom who walks with Jesus. But what every person needs to be doing is to be walking with Jesus. Are you doing that? Are you doing it in the way that the Bible tells us to do? We talked about what Acts chapter 2 teaches us. They were pricked in their heart. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And they were told that they need to repent of their sins. And having confessed their faith, they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that at that very moment, all of their sins could be forgiven by the blood of Jesus so that they could be added by the Lord to His church and so that He could enroll them in heaven. And then what He asks you to do from there on out is just be faithful. Just keep walking with Him every day. Keep coming to His Word and saying, what does He want me to do? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. If you've never given your life to the Lord, we're going to sing a song, and here's what it says. Jesus, Jesus is tenderly calling you. You know when He's calling you? He's calling you today. He's not calling you tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus is tenderly calling you today to come and walk with Him. If you're not walking with Him right now, why don't you make that change right today as together we stand and sing.